This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu salatan wa tasliman yaliqani bi maqami amiril anbiya'i wa imamil mursaleen. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين أما بعد Cemaatul Muslimin, Esselamu Aleykum ve Rahmetullahi ve Berekatuhu. Kâle Allahu Tebâreke ve Teâlâ fî kitâbihil azîz, ba'de a'ûzu billâhi mineşşeytânirracîm. Kul te'âlâu etlû mâ harrama rabbukum aleykum, ellâ tuşrikû bihi şey'a, ve bilvâlideyni ihsâna, ve lâ teqtulû evlâdekum min imlâk, nahnu nerzukukum ve iyyâhum. ولا تقربوا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تعقلون صدق الله العظيم وقال تعالى ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ومن قتل مظلوما فقد جعلنا لوليه سلطانا فلا يسرف في القتل إنه كان منصورا وقال تعالى من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا ولقد جاءتهم رسلنا بالبينات ثم إن كثيرا منهم بعد ذلك في الأرض لمسرفون صدق الله العظيم جماعة المسلمين I wanted to conclude our preparation for Ramadan but due to an event that took place on Sunday I felt it my duty to first speak about this event and hopefully if we still have some time, then we can make our final comments about preparing to receive that honorable and noble guest of Shahr Ramadan bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So what happened on Sunday? As you're all aware, there were several bombings that took place in Sri Lanka. On Easter Sunday, two of them were in churches and others were in hotels. And very sadly, as it is now coming to the fore, that the people that perpetrated these killings, killing innocent men, women and children, like what happened to our brothers and sisters in Islam in the two masjids in New Zealand, a criminal act of murder and senseless killing. So this was too a criminal act of murder and senseless killing. And as we speak about the Deen of Islam, and I'm not going to repeat myself with regards to the broader picture of understanding Millat Ibrahim Hanifa, that pure way of Abraham alayhi salam, on him be peace, and on all the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be the choicest salutations and peace. That this deen of Islam, which began with our father Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and the first messenger that was sent, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, with the Noahide law, shir'atan wa minhaja, and then culminated, completed and perfected with the coming of the last and final messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Shir'atan wa minhaja. as the law and the way to be followed until the last hour. And that anybody who came in the time of that messenger and believed in La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and then believed in the law and the way that that messenger had brought from Allah, then they would be of the Muslimin of their time. And so we find, for example, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the Torah to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, we have the Ten Commandments, which we call Al-Wasaya Al-Ashar in the Arabic language, which we find in the Holy Quran. And one of those commandments, thou shalt not kill, a commandment that is still very much part of this shir'atan wa minhaja, something that has not changed from the time of the first messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these wasaya. I'm not going to go through all of them. We are concentrating on this particular one where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I will take us straight to Surah Al-Isra, verse number 33, وَلَا تَقَتُلُ نَفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And do not take the life, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred, except by right. By right of what? By right of a court of law that has found that the one who took that life is guilty. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا, whoever's life is unjustly taken, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا, then we give the right of the victim's family either to demand compensation or the life of the perpetrator. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ, do not exceed the limits when it comes to taking life. In other words, you cannot do it willy-nilly. You cannot take the law into your own hands. Why? Because the law, إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا, aids the victim by bringing justice. Aids the victim by bringing justice. And then when we spoke those few weeks ago, when we spoke about what happened in New Zealand, I mentioned the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 32, min ajli dhalik, min ajli madha. And because of that, what is that? When Qabil killed Habil, because of this act, the first murder that took place, katabna ala bani Israel, we wrote for the children of Israel. In the Ten Commandments, a command which we still find preserved in the Holy Quran today until the last hour. And that is, whoever takes one life, in أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض, whoever takes a life without it being for a life through a court of law, a judge finding the perpetrator, the one who has committed the crime of murder, guilty, and then issuing the sentence of death upon him, if it is the taking of a life not for a life, causing mischief in this earth, then it is as if, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, it is as if he has killed the entire mankind. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا, whoever saves one life, فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, then it is as if he has saved the whole of mankind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the verse by saying, and indeed we sent our messengers, وَلَقَدَ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, they came to their people with clear signs of these things that are permissible to do and these things which are prohibited to do, like the taking of life unjustly. ثُمَّ إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ لَمُسْرِفُونَ, but then many of them after went into excesses, causing mischief in the earth. And unfortunately, Jamaat al-Muslimin, you know, if you like history, then we read history and sometimes we ask ourselves, like the malaika, when they put forward the question, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, Are you going to create therein after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed them of the creation of our father Adam? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. What did they say? And the malaika, they only spoke, لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. They will never speak out of turn, the malaika, never ever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the ilham, Allah gave them the inspiration to ask the question. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give the answer. أَتَجَعَلُوا فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُوا فِيهَا. You're going to make a creation in the earth that is going to cause mischief. وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. And it is going to shed blood. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we are glorifying you and singing your praises. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them at the end? قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, I know that which you do not know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that of this mankind, besides those that are causing mischief and shedding blood, that there will be anbiya, mursaleen, zuhad, that there will be siddiqeen, there will be shuhada wa salihin, that there will be prophets and messengers, and there will be pious people and kind people and generous people and merciful people. And alhamdulillah, we see that, and we would like to give the benefit of the doubt that most people have a good nature. But Jamaatul Muslimin, the shaitan, he refuses to leave us alone. The shaitan will always be whispering. الشيطان مع الإنسان كمجر الدم في الأروق. Shaitan is with mankind whispering like the blood in his veins. So as long as we're alive, shaitan will be whispering. يا موسى لا تضع محاربة الشيطان ما دامت روحك في بدنك فإنه لا يضع محاربتك أبدا. Oh Musa, never leave your battle with the shaitan as long as your soul is in your body, for indeed he will never leave his battle with you. And so the shaitan continues to sow the seeds of hatred. He continues to sow the seeds of this almost lustful desire to shed blood that we see all through the generations, generation after generation after generation. So Jamaatul Muslimin, the whole topic of taking life is a very complex topic when it comes even to war in Islam. In actual fact, I was going through the international law of war, what they call the rules of engagement. And it summarized at the end, attack enemy forces and military targets. Spare civilian and civilian property if possible. Conduct yourselves with dignity and honor. Comply with the law of war. If you see violation, report it. These rules of engagement will remain in effect until your commander orders you to transition to post hostilities rules of engagement. This is in the international law of war. Subhanallah, when I went to our fiqh books, the fiqh books of Islam, of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in particular, the fiqh books of the Ahnaf and the Malikiyah and the Shafi'iyah and the Hanabila, I find them going into such detail. I found them going into such technical aspects of how to preserve life even on the battlefield. And I ask you a question, was this on the battlefield? Two masjids like in New Zealand, is that a battlefield? Two churches in Sri Lanka, is that a battlefield? Ma'ad Allah. In actual fact, when the fuqaha, when they discussed this whole mas'ala of when it is permissible to take life, why? Because we've already established that to take life is prohibited. That to take one life unjustly is like you have killed the entire mankind. So, the opposite thereof, we ask the question, when is it permissible to take life? And the answer is, in war. In war, it is permissible to take life. But then, where is the battleground? And when is it permissible to take life? And whose lives is it permissible to take? They go into this very intricate and complex, different masail, different issues pertaining to the different categories. Now, If we are to speak about what we call Darul Islam and Darul Harb and Darul Ahad, in the time of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after establishing the true Islamic state, not this crazed majaneen people who are doing things with the flag of Islamic State and it's got nothing to do with Islam or the state of Islam. And I will prove it. Jamaatul Muslimin, because it is said that, and it still needs to be proven, but it is said that this so-called group that call themselves ISIL or ISIS or IS, that on their website Amaq, that they were the ones that issued the command for this act to have been taken out. Although the ones that have been found to be responsible, that still needs to be confirmed. But those that were found to have been responsible, and it's very sad that these words are being used. Jamaat al-Tawheed, the group of Tawheed, those that that claim the divine unity, that believe in the divine unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In actual fact, it reminds me of the what they call the Al-Muwahidun. Al-Muwahidun, the Almohads, who were an extremist group of Berbers that invaded Spain when it was under the leadership of the Muslimin. And many Muslims were killed by them. In fact, Al-Qadi Iyad, Qadi Iyad, who is the author of Al-Shifa, which is a book about, a very famous book about the attributes of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was killed by the Al-Muwahidun, the Al-Muhads, those who claim to have firm belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many Muslims were killed by them. So let us not get confused by names. Just because a group calls themselves Islamic State does not make themselves an Islamic State. Because alhamdulillah, we have a turath. We have a turath of 1400 years of scholarship. And that scholarship based on the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on the consensus of the ulama, and on the qiyas, on the analogy of contextualizing the sources that we have in today's time and until the last hour. Until the believers are on this earth, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them away. We have, alhamdulillah, we have this turath which is alive and which the ulama continue to build on. And if there's one thing that there is absolute consensus on, even if it was a battlefield, which it's not. I was reading a very detailed article written about 10 years ago in Sana'a in Yemen by a very good scholar, a very well-read scholar. And he brings all the adilla together. He brings all the proofs together. And when they speak about Darul Islam or Darul Harb, Darul Islam being the state of the Muslims, the so-called Islamic state. And Darul Harb would be the land that are in enmity or that the Muslims are at war with. And then Darul Ahad is the land that the Muslims have a treaty, a peace treaty with. He said, in today's time, with the United Nations, with all the shortcomings of the United Nations, belonging to the United Nations as a country is a ahad. It is a form of treaty. And that's why we have alaqat diplomasiya. We have diplomatic relations with those countries. In fact, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, he comes with the opinion that today we don't have Dar al-Islam and Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Ahad. I'm just giving you his opinion, a very valid opinion. He says we have alim al-da'wa wa alim al-ijaba. We have the world of propagation and the world of acceptance. Why? Because today the Muslims are everywhere. Muslims are here in the furthest tip of South Africa. They are in Chile and in Mexico. They are in North America. They are in Norway. They are in Australia. They are in New Zealand. The Muslims are everywhere. So there's the world of da'wah. There's the world of propagation. And there is the world of ijaba, of accepting that propagation. But even if we are to be technical and say, okay, we take Sri Lanka as Darul Ahad. Sri Lanka belongs to the United Nations. And those that actually perpetrated this, they are Sri Lankan citizens themselves. Then we have to look at the impermissibility of killing anyone that you have ahad, that you have a treaty with, that you have an agreement with. Well, Muslimuna ala shurutihim. They go so far as to say that even a spy in the time of that the land of the Muslims had an agreement with, it's not permissible to even take that spy's life. But here, what are we talking about? We are talking about in a place of worship, men, women, and innocent children that are killed senselessly in cold blood. When you read something like this, then you think of Genghis Khan. When Genghis Khan, when he created and his children and his grandchildren, the greatest contiguous land empire in the world. But on what? They say that during the expansion of the Mongol horde, anything between 11 and 40 million people were killed. Men, women, and children. So when you think of an act like this, you think about the Mongols. You think about the Vikings. The Vikings, who were the Vikings? The Vikings were a bandit of criminals. They used to raid the monasteries. They used to raid the churches and the monasteries on the English and Irish coasts. And they used to kill men, women, and children. When you think of acts like this, you think of Attila the Hun. Also very famous for killing men, women, and children without any differentiation. When you think of acts like this, you think of the Khmer Rouge, the killing fields in the 1970s. That what they would do was anybody that they believed had collaborated with the previous regime or with any of the Western forces, they would kill that man, and then they would kill his wife and his children just in case that they might take revenge. But do we think, when we think of acts like this, do we think of Muhammad? Salawatu Rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Muhammad who said, Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I give you the hadith, and this particular hadith is narrated in Bukhari, Ali ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, lan yazalu al-mu'minu fi fushatin min dinihi ma lam yusib daman haraman. He says that a believer is still well within the bounds of his religion. Fushatin, si'atin. That a believer is well within the bounds of his religion as long as he does not spill unlawful blood. As long as he does not spill unlawful blood. Actual fact, I made a list. I've got it here. As long as he does not spill unlawful blood. And that includes, of course, al-mu'ahad. Al-mu'ahad. The one whom the Muslims, in the time when there was Darul Islam and Darul Harb and Darul Ahad, the mu'ahad, the one whom the Muslims had an agreement with, a peace treaty, even that person. In fact, there's a hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. من قتل معاهدا لم يرح رائحة الجنة وإن ريحها توجد من مسيرة أربعين عاما. And this is also narrated in Al-Bukhari. Authentic hadith. Our beloved Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith that whoever kills somebody with whom the Muslims have an agreement with, and like I mentioned earlier, according to the fuqaha, this pertains to every country in the world that belongs to the United Nations. Every country in which there is diplomatic relations. Man qatala mu'ahadan, whoever kills somebody with whom the Muslims have an agreement, he will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. And the fragrance of Jannah can be smelt from 40 years distance travel away. In those days, distances were measured by years of travel. In actual fact, in those days, it took 1 year to go from Morocco in the west to China in the east. So you can times that by 40. That the one who kills somebody whom the Muslims have an agreement with, we're speaking about men that are capable of going to war. You cannot even kill him if you have an agreement with him. But right, let's put all of that aside. Let's say in the case of war, where you have combatants and non-combatants, what does our Sharia, what does our Islamic law teach us with regards to the rules of engagement? And wallahi, it is a lengthy, lengthy discussion. I can be standing here for hours speaking to you about it. But I'm going to give it to you in short. Number one, on which there is absolutely no difference of opinion. Women and children, even in war, as non-combatants, and that means a woman that's not standing with a gun pointing towards you, or a child that's not standing with a gun pointing towards you. That women and children, according to the Al-Immat Al-Arba'ah, according to the four schools of thought in Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there is ijma, there is consensus that it is haram, it is prohibited to kill women and children even in war. Is this war? Wallah, this is not war. Was this a battleground? No, wallah, this was in a church. Or even those that were killed in a hotel for that matter. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can look at all the ahadith. Don't research it. Most of the research is in Arabic, unfortunately. But there is some research that's been done in the English language. I'm sure you can find. As long as you make sure of your sources. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you must be careful where you take your deen from. In other words, where you find your knowledge about Islam. It must be based on authentic sources. But if you look at all the ahadith, لا تقتل امرأة ولا شيخا هريما ولا طفلا ولا أسيفا. And even the commands that Sayyidina Abu Bakr gave to the Sahaba when they went into battle. Or the commands that Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhum, ajma'im, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all the illustrious companions of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the commands that they gave to the Sahaba, to the companions when they went into battle. All very, very clear. And basically, if you put them all together, we come up with basically six categories. In war, we're speaking about in war. We've already established, if there's an agreement with that country, then even that mu'ahad, even his dam, his blood is prohibited, is haram to be spilt. But even in a case of war, we have six categories. When you look at all the proofs and put them together, number one, an-nisa'u wa-sibyan, women and children. If they are non-combatants, then it is absolutely impermissible to take their lives. Al-usafa wal-ujara, wala asifan in the hadith. Who is al-asif, al-ajir? The person who is basically going around like, you know, you see that guy on the motorbike with the pizza delivery? That's what we call an al-ajir, al-ajir. You know, somebody who is in the service of somebody else. Whether he's delivering pizzas, or whether he's working in the factory, or whatever he's doing for that matter. If it's a person just working and minding his own business, he's not a combatant, then it's not permissible to shed his blood. A shaykhul harim, the elderly, we've already established women, so that includes elderly women or young women, doesn't matter. But even the elderly men, those who are not capable of fighting, they are also considered to be non-combatants and may not be touched. Al-fallahun. Who al-fallahun? The farmers, those working in the fields. In the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu tabarak wa ta'ala, when he sent the, and he even went so far as to say, do not cut down trees. Don't destroy buildings unnecessarily. Don't slaughter animals except for food. These were the rules of engagement at the time when mankind weren't following many rules, especially when it came to war. Then al-ruhban wa ashab al-sawami', the ruhban, the monks, those worshipping in the... In fact, we have the two verses very clearly, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, and this one is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 251, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضِ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And if it wasn't for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept people in check by means of other people? In other words, if there wasn't the rule of law, if we weren't guided by these divine principles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby we have to defend the innocent and prevent the perpetration of such dhulam, of such oppression, then what would have happened? لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ The earth would have been corrupted, but indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of bounty to the worlds. You look at where these same words come again. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks after that. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِمَتْ سَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعٌ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ And if it was not for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept people in check, some of them with others, then monasteries would have been demolished, and churches and synagogues and mosques in which the name of Allah is mentioned much. And Allah will surely support those who support Him. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted in might. So here we're speaking about life in general, even during war, but more specifically, places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made sacred, that may not, sacred in the sense that they may not be touched, even in war. There are certain exceptions if that place of worship is being used as a fort in which the combatants are killing the Muslimin. That's a totally different story. But here, people were attending a church service. Wal-iyadu billah. No matter what their belief might be. La ikraha fi al-deen, qad tabayyana rushdu min al-ghay. There's no compulsion in religion. The right path has been made distinguishable from the wrong path. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ Whoever wants to believe, let them believe. And whoever wants to disbelieve, let them disbelieve. So Jamaat al-Muslimin, whoever is doing this in the name of Islam, wallahi, Islam is free of them. Islam is free of them. No matter what they call themselves, Jamaat al-Tawheed, Islamic State, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, and what they are doing, they are actually taking verses out of the Quran and manipulating them. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ أَمْ مَوَاضِعِهِ Taking things completely out of context. Taking verses like وَإِنْ عَاقَبَتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُقِبُتُمْ بِهِ And if you punish, then punish as you were punished. They say, okay, so they killed our men and women and children, so we'll kill their men and women and children. إِشْهَذَا What religion is this? Is this Islam? لا والله. This is the religion of shaitan. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى No sinner shall bear the sins of another. No sinner shall bear the sins of another. Look at that at that word wazira. Waw, alif, za, ra, ta marbuta. It's the only word in the Arabic language where none of the letters are connected. In other words, each letter stands for itself. This is the miracle of the Holy Quran. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ Wizra ukhra. No sinner, wazira. Woe stands for himself. And I don't think woe has any sins, but he stands for himself. Alif stands for himself. Za stands for himself. Ra stands for himself. And ta marbuta, which is feminine, she stands for herself. They all stand for themselves. Why? Because that is the sinner. When in ever in the history of Islam has two wrongs made a right? Tell me. Billahi alaykum, I ask you in the name of Allah. Where has ever two wrongs made a right? But we spoke about this. And we made dua, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows why we are being tested like this, Jamaat al-Muslimin. And it's time that we stood up and you don't need to apologize. Wallahi, I'm not standing here apologizing for Islam or the Muslims. What I'm standing up here is I'm defending Islam and the Muslimin. That these kinds of actions have got nothing to do with Islam, nor has it anything to do with the Muslimin. Killing of women and children. I've been doing a lot of research recently on Genghis Khan. Don't ask me why, it just a very, very traumatic period in the history of the Muslimin. How many of our places of worship were destroyed. How many of our libraries, the library of Baghdad, was emptied into the Tigris River, into the Dajla. So much so that for 2 weeks, the color of the river was the color of the ink. And more than a million souls were taken. More than a million were killed. They killed the Khalifa by rolling him up in a carpet and trampling him to death. Why? Because they believed in some bad omen that if his blood was shed, then something would happen to them. So they said, okay, in that case, let's not shed his blood. We'd rather roll him up in a carpet and we'll trample him to death. They laid waste to Herat, which is Afghanistan. They laid waste to Samarkand and Tashkent. They laid waste to so many of the lands of the Muslimin. They sacked Aleppo. And so many innocent people died. The Crusaders, we have a similar story, and that is why we have said that there are extremists in all religions. Certainly, we do not blame the Christians of today for what the Crusaders did on the 15th of July in 1099. When they entered Jerusalem, Ur Shalem, Darus Salam, the city of peace, and all the Jews were hiding in the synagogue, and they set the synagogue alight, and they burnt all the Jews alive in their synagogue. And they laid waste to the city and they slaughtered the entire population except for those who could buy their way out. Men, women and children. Ma'arat al-Nu'man, which I visited when I was living in Damascus. I visited the old city of Ma'arra. Ma'arat al-Nu'man, where the inhabitants of the city were slaughtered and cannibalized. You know that when the sail, when the flood comes through the wadi, through the valley, you know, initially the water just runs on the flat ground and then the water builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And then when it gets to the edge of the actual valley itself where the water normally runs, and then it comes over and it floods the plains and destroys the crops. We have reached that period in time. Balagh al-sayl al-zuba, ideologically. We cannot tolerate people doing things like this in the name of our deen and keep quiet about it. La wallah. We have to speak out. And we have to raise our heads high. And we have to speak the truth about Islam. As to those who are going to come to the deen or those who are going to run away from the deen, that is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must speak the truth. We must defend Islam. We don't defend individuals. We don't defend organizations. There have been many organizations that have committed great atrocities in the name of our deen, as well as in the name of the Jews and in the name of the Christians and in the name of the Buddhists. There are many atrocities being perpetrated by extremists in all faiths. But it is the duty of the people of that religion to stand up and say what their faith stands for and what are the rules and regulations and laws governing the adherence to that faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring an end to this madness. What next? Another reprisal? Ma'ad Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our voices. That's what we need. Wallahi, I'm looking to the international ulama bodies. There are international ulama bodies out there. They need to come together and they need to establish what is the real aqeedah, what is the true aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What are the laws and regulations that govern over 2 billion of the world's population? And not let the world base their thoughts of Islam on what 0.0001% of the Muslims are doing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect us all. Amen. Jamaat al-Muslimin, unfortunately the time is up. When is the first of Ramadan? Give me a date. Or? Seventh? The seventh, inshallah. Seventh or eighth? Seventh. Sorry, sixth or seventh. Sixth or seventh of May. And we are now? What is the date today? The 26th. So we've got one more Jumu'ah, inshallah. We've got one more Jumu'ah. So that, inshallah, alhamdulillah, that is what we will do next week. We will then consolidate and inshallah conclude our final preparations that we all need to make to receive the honorable and noble guest of the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب يا ربي يا ستار العيوب استر عيوبنا يا ربي يا غفار الذنوب اغفر ذنوبنا يا ربي يا مفرج الكروب فرج كروبنا يا ربي يا علام الغيوب قنا شر ما أهمنا وغمنا ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا عليما بخلقك يا خبيرا بخلقك يا لطيفا بخلقك ألتف بنا بما جرت به المقادير إنك على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله لا تظلمن إذا ما كنت مقتدرا فالظلم ترجع عقباه إلى الندم تنام عيناك والمظلوم منتبه يدعو عليك وعين الله لم تنم وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الظلمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله عظم جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلى عليك الله يا علم الهدى ما هبت النسائم وما ناحت على الأيك الحمائم أما بعد فيا حماة الإسلام وحراس العقيدة إلى أين يا سارة الكرام اسمعوا معي إلى ما قاله مولانا تبارك اسمه في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أن من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قتل معاهدا لم يرح رائحة الجنة مسيرة 40 عاما، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإخوة الأفاضل، إننا نرى في هذه الأيام مجرمين يقتلون الأبرياء المدنيين في المساجد وفي الكنائس، فماذا نقول؟ نحن كمسلمين يا أخوة الأفاضل يجب علينا أن ندين هذه الأفعال الوحشية، وأن نقول أن الإسلام هو الدين العدل، وأن الإسلام هو الدين الذي لا يسمح بأي ظلم، لأن الله تعالى إنما يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. فيا أخوة الأفاضل، نسأل الله تعالى أن يجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أعوذ بكم من هناك إلى هنا. وما أدراك ما هنا؟ هنا مدرسة محمدا، هنا مدرسة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، يقول فيه الحبيب المصطفى: البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت، اعمل ما شئت كما تدين تدان. ويقول أيضا: كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. صلِّ اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين. أما بعد، فيا أيها المسلمون، أوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة أولا بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، واكثروا عباد الله من الصلاة والسلام على سيدي وحبيبي ونور قلبي محمد، طب القلوب ودوائها، وعافة الأبدان وشفائها، ونور الأبصار وضيائها. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن الحسن والحسين وأهل البدر والحنين، وعن سائر أهله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعن سائر صحابته أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأعلي بفضلك كلمتي الحق والدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة خاصة يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في حلب وحمص ومعارة النعمان. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم وثبت أقدامهم يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله، وأقم الصلاة. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استو، اعتدلوا، تراصوا، سد الخلل، سو صفوفكم، فإن تسوية الصف من تمام الصلاة. Heels in line, shoulder touching shoulder, close all the gaps. Please make sure that all cell phones are on silent or switched off. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أستغفر الله. نستغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ونتوب إليه ونسأله التوبة والمغفرة إنه هو التواب الرحيم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabi wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarak ya dhal jalali wa likram sami'ana wa ata'ana ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Wa la hawla wa la quwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. Allahumma shfi mardana wa rahma utana wa muta al-muslimin.